You see N'Bongo there. He's very stupid. But soon, you'll be very smart. And you will be not so smart. In other words, Mr. Church, I'm going to transfer your brains.
I'm Ken Hankey.
I'm Justin Sally.
Yep.
Film Critics.
Yep, we are.
Mountain Express.
We are even that, yes.
Is that dramatic enough?
I think it's probably pretty dramatic, maybe too dramatic. We're probably overselling this thing. And you put us together, and you've got Elitist Bastards. You separate us, and you have two Elitist Bastards.
Bastard,
yes.
Best
and
Eye.
Elitist Bastard, and another Elitist Bastard. In any case, we've been to the movies, and we're here to share our pain or joy with you. We've both seen Cowboys and Aliens, so we will discuss it.
Yes.
Yes. What did you think, Mr. Salad?
I was fine with it. I have seen your review, which I assume other people might have by the time this
I would assume that they have.
Right.
If
now,
they listen to this, they probably have seen the review, I would say.
Though there's someone here, present company excluded, who is apparently going around saying you gave it 4 stars, even though I don't think you've ever actually talked to him, let alone there's no way he would have seen your review.
Well, actually, I said it was wavering in between 3.5 and 4.
Okay.
I believe you must be talking about the gentleman downstairs.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's not wrong.
Well.
He just took the optimistic
view.
And I could have gone 4. I mean, I had no problem with
him. Like 3.75, maybe.
We don't have a 3.75, which I think is probably unfortunate. 3.9? Let's put the difference at 3.85.
But I did like it better than Captain America.
I haven't seen Captain America, so I can't get into that dogfight.
It's better made than Captain America, I think, which is what it has in its favor.
My basic problem with the film is what I said in the
review,
and that is the fact that when it gets towards the end, your aliens become too much generic, muscled, crawl all over the place, running around CGI aliens. And prior to that, they were pretty cool. I mean, they had the bug eyes and everything, and even I didn't mind the chest that opened up with a little pair of hands.
That was
sort of
baby hands.
Little amusing thing. But when they started chasing people around like that, it was just like, no. I feel like I'm watching I Am Legend or...
I mean, the whole movie is just a series of contrivances.
It's a series of contrivances, but all it is...
Who's going to show up to save this character
from... It's two B-picture genres slapped together. And, you know, and I don't have a problem with that. I didn't expect it to be anything other than what it was. I liked the cast. I liked almost everybody in the movie.
Right. No, I think if you look at it as a B-movie, it works a lot better since you do get...
You know, it's a really expensive B-movie.
Right. Well, I mean, it's some questionable things in it, like these aliens flying around can nab people with their little ropes.
Yeah.
They can't seem to actually shoot anyone.
Well, that's the thing. They don't seem to have any trouble blowing people up. Why are they bothering capturing them to see what our weaknesses are?
Because that's what aliens do.
Oh, okay. You know.
Not to mention these are ancient aliens.
No. Well, no, these are Wild West aliens. They aren't quite in the ancient category yet. You don't see them teaching anybody how to build a pyramid, do you?
No.
Okay. They aren't ancient.
Oh, but ancient aliens had an episode on the Nazis, and those were after the Cowboys.
Well, I know that Dr. Mengele built...
I'm saying this is a documentary,
yeah, okay.
Basically.
Right, okay. You know, well, somebody complained to me that it was pretty good, but they didn't like the piss poor science. Piss poor science? Who cares? They didn't go to this movie for a science lesson, for God's sake.
No, it's not.
And it didn't even occur to me to wonder about the science, whether it made any sense or not. I don't care. You know, it's a long time since I had to take a science class, and I'm not sorry.
Can you answer something for me?
Sure.
I have a question from the film. At the beginning, we see Sam Rockwell, who apparently owns a saloon.
Yes.
And his wife talking about how it's his dream, or
yes,
it's their dream. But then we find out later he's a doctor.
Oh, his name is Doc. I don't know. Is he actually a doctor?
I think. So why would your dream...
Because the preacher was doing all the doctoring. Of course, he you know, bought the farm.
But I think he was... But apparently his dream as a doctor was to open a saloon, I guess.
Maybe being a doctor would make you dream about owning a saloon. I don't know. You know. Depending on your taste in the matter, a few proctology exams could probably put you off the whole thing.
This is the Old West. I don't think they
bothered. Yeah, that's probably true. They didn't know what those were.
There's also something else I was going to point out, but I can't remember.
Cattle mutilations. That was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about cattle mutilation.
Yeah, they
as
managed
a
to
thing.
Get that in there. Yeah, it was a nice touch. I mean, it was, you know. I had a good time. I didn't expect anything better than that.
Yeah, no.
I didn't get anything better than that.
No.
But in the middle of the summer, if I had a good time, it was okay. So I would recommend it on an it was okay basis.
Me too. Do you need to describe what this movie's about, Steve?
It's about cowboys and aliens. What more do you need? You know, it's about big men in tights.
In chaps.
Yeah. Well, I will have to say that that outfit really shows off Daniel Craig's ass.
He looked like he was clenching most of the movie. I worry about him.
Oh, well.
He has a large amount of stress, possibly.
Yeah, that's true. Talk about assassination games.
Well, assassination games won't be here after Thursday, so if
that's,
you're just...
The point is probably moot. But you know, the world is waiting to hear your take on the return of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, I don't know if it's a return. I mean, I'm sure he's done...
This is probably the first time, other than doing a voice in Kung Fu Panda 2, that he has been allowed near an actual movie theater, even if they had to bribe the theaters to do it.
Right. And he's fine in it. And the whole movie's fine. It's just, there's not much there. It's perfectly decent, straight-to-video kind of stuff. There's not much of a plot to speak of. The idea is just to have some action scenes, and even that, there's not a ton of... It's obviously low budget.
Was there enough violence, gore,
and
nudity?
I mean, when there is violence, it's pretty violent.
Well, it promises violence, gore, and nudity.
You get, like, a dismembered woman and some rape. Get some rape in there.
You know, if it advertises this, I want it.
It has these things, but there's also a lot of talking for some reason.
Well, you know, that really is not Mr. Van Damme's strong suit.
No. Well, his character doesn't talk much, so...
That's probably in his favor.
And he's sort of low-key in his role, and it works. He's sort of world-weary Jean-Claude at this point, I guess. So he's definitely much better than Arnold Schwarzenegger would be. He's probably comparable with, like, Sylvester Stallone, maybe a little better at this point.
Except he speaks better English than Stallone. Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, it's perfectly fine for what it is, which
isn't
everything.
But it really has no business being in a theater.
No, I mean, it's competent. It's not completely boring, but everything is just sort of like a cliche.
I want to see that on the DVD case.
Yes.
Not completely boring. That would... Boy, I'd rent that in a heartbeat.
What's next? What's... Crazy Stupid Love?
Crazy Stupid Love is a film that I liked, that I wanted to like better than I did. It's really pretty good. It's good. Sometimes it's very good. Sometimes it really gets close to being great. That's usually when Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling are on screen together. But it has a sitcom mentality. I mean, it really has that sitcom thing going where it's like everything is connected, everything can be worked out in the space of under 2 hours of movie. And that, of course, is just a little bit... The word Pat comes to mind. I never minded it. I enjoyed it. What?
Pat Morita.
No, Pat Morita does not come to mind.
Oh, okay.
Apparently it comes to your mind. We should have
Boone.
A talk about that. That's even worse.
Pat? Did you ever see that movie?
No. Regardless. We were talking about a nice, well-intentioned, romantic comedy that just tries to do too much and pack too much into one movie. Got no qualms with the acting. The acting is fine. I like Steve Carell. I like Julianne Moore. I like everybody in this movie to one degree or another. But
Josh
really,
Groban.
I don't know Josh Groban.
He sings like weird, like.
I believe he has a song on the soundtrack for the Polar Express, which right there condemns him to one of the inner circles of hell.
He sings like weird, like middle-aged woman music. Like, it all sounds like a Christmas CD.
You mean he sings songs to MILFs?
I don't know what his target audience is.
Anyway.
It's all sort of like weirdly, I don't know if operatic's the right word.
I suspect.
Okay, I'm trying to educate you.
No, I don't.
I will send you YouTube videos now. Recoil and
doesn't
horror.
Mean that I'm going to watch them just because you send them.
You'll be curious.
Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone are wonderful in Crazy Stupid Love, although I am rapidly coming to the conclusion that Emma Stone is pretty much wonderful in anything. So we'll see if she can hold on to that.
She's going to be in that Spider-Man movie next year. So.
Yeah, well, like I said, we'll see if she can hold on. You know, she's got to be better than what's her name?
Kirsten Dunst.
Thank you. In any case, Crazy Stupid Love is good. It could have been a lot better. It's a movie that I can't help but think that if there was more than a couple weeks distance between it and Friends with Benefits, I might have liked better. But it didn't. Somebody arrest that poor child. But it didn't.
Screaming in there.
It did not get to that level. And I think that may have hurt it. I'm not going to say that it did, but it may have. So moving right along, Project Nim. Project Nim is a very good documentary from the same gentleman who made Man on Wire a couple years ago. I don't know really what there is to say about the film. It's a film about does anybody remember the chimpanzee that they tried to teach to communicate through sign language? It was about the same time they had a gorilla named Coco that they tried to teach to communicate through sign language.
Like the space race, they were
trying
to see who could teach.
Who got the super simian first. And the whole thing is basically a chronicle of what happened to this poor chimpanzee that they ripped away from its mother to go live with some rich hippies in Upper West Side New York who didn't do anything other than teach it how to get stoned and how to breastfeed on a human. And, you know, I mean, the whole thing is just, it's a downward spiral because you can't. One of the things you cannot do, you cannot domesticate a chimpanzee. It becomes aggressive as it ages, and it becomes more and more aggressive as it ages because of the whole thing. As it reaches puberty, it becomes very dangerous. And, you know, they're trying to do something that can't be done, in addition to which is the scientific basis for this. The guy who is in charge of it, his major interests seem to be photo ops, and the fact that the first woman he'd already had an affair with, and the second woman he got to actually teach the animal sign language, he managed to have an affair with her. And then when the whole thing didn't seem to be going anywhere, he just took the chimp back. Except he did show up once again for, guess what? A photo opportunity. There's no way this guy comes off well. Yet the movie doesn't do anything to make him come off poorly. He does it all himself. But it's very interesting. It's entertaining in its own way. And it's ultimately, of course...
Chimp.
What?
Did he have an affair with the chimp?
No, he did not, so far as I can tell, have an affair with the chimp. If he had, the whole thing might have worked out more nicely. It's moving, and it's utterly maddening in the end of it. But, you know, it's... If you like documentaries, it definitely is high on the list of documentaries you should see.
Let's talk about The Trip, and let's end on this verse.
Well, have you watched the rest of it?
I've seen most of The Trip. I can't say that I've seen all of it. Full disclosure.
Okay.
So, but you seem to like it more than you thought you would.
Yes, I liked The Trip a good bit, in fact. But that was because it turned out to be... The Trip turns out to be more than just a bunch of Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon doing celebrity impersonations, because it actually has a thread going underneath it, and it has a subtext. And even though they are playing versions of themselves as opposed to supposedly playing themselves, even though they're called Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, it has this really kind of moving, sometimes slightly disturbing subtext going on about just exactly how much of this might be true, how much Steve Coogan in particular might be revealing about himself without actually meaning to reveal about himself, because they're both middle-aged men who are trying to come to terms with the idea that pretty much the chances that they're going to do something that is going to like really put them seriously over the top into like major stardom are pretty likely gone. So you know they've probably peaked. They've reached the kind of careers they're going to have, and Bryden seems to be okay with this, and Steve Coogan seems to be well less okay. So he comes across ultimately as kind of sad and lonely, which I think is sort of at odds with the impression that we have of Steve Coogan party boy, and which it actually has aspects of Steve Coogan party boy in it, though. So, and also the locations are nice. I like the locations. I have been by that hotel in the Lake District that they went to. I have not been there. I don't have that kind of money.
Right.
You know, but I have been by that.
I think the best thing about the film is how well they play off each other. Because I'm sure very little of that was scripted.
Well, yep. There's no script credited, so I'm assuming that it's all made up.
But it doesn't feel
like, well, I'm going to do this and you're going to do that. Yeah, it
doesn't feel like mumblecore. Where
no, that's because we're talking about two well-spoken people, not two 20-somethings navel-gazing about the ennui of their existence.
Right.
We're talking about people that actually have vocabularies and a frame of reference and can speak without talking into their beards. You know, I mean, that's a, you know, a very big difference there. They're articulate.
Right.
They're even the kind of people who can use words like articulate. So, you know, I mean, it's...
Ken's just trying to pump up his use of the word articulate.
No, actually, I'm stealing something from Bedazzled.
Oh, okay.
Snitch. So, anyway, I like it. I would definitely recommend it.
I would, from what I saw. I haven't watched all of it, but I enjoyed it.
He's a sluggard.
A film of comparable stature.
The Smurfs. Well,
what do you have to say for yourself?
What I have to say for myself can probably be summed up. While I was standing there, waiting for the ending credits, because I wanted to see who had written this song that I had come to hate over the Christmas season on a Honda commercial, because it was in this movie, and it turns out to be something called Holiday by some people calling themselves Screaming Brat. No, calling themselves... it was written... It's this thing called Holiday by some people calling themselves Vampire Weekend. It is the most obnoxious thing I have ever heard in my life, and I want to know who is responsible for it. Well, maybe not the most obnoxious, but after you've seen it several times a day during the 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock news thing on Channel 13, you really come to detest this song, especially because you can't understand the words.
How's it go? I'm a little bit.
Holiday, oh holiday, best time of the year. I'll wait for holiday. It's terrible. I can't hum it.
So what do you think of the Smurfs?
Well, someone came up to me and said, how was it? And I turned to them and I said, it's a fucking Smurfs movie. How do you think it was? And that pretty much sums it up. It's bad. It's awful. It's just plain piss poor. It's not funny, although it has some things in it that are so bizarre in trying to entertain the adults that I found them, I won't say amusing, but they entertained me by their very existence.
So it worked?
No, not really. I mean,
sounds,
you know,
like it.
I'm just trying to figure out who in the audience, as I said this in the review, you know, I think six critics, perhaps, who were forced to sit through this thing, and they're all over the age of 50, caught a Dustin Hoffman in Midnight Cowboy impression. I'm sure the kids in the audience didn't get. But the last gag in the film is, yes, a Brokeback Mountain joke. and you can guess which one it is. Only in this case, it's in between the evil wizard Gagamoose or whatever his name is, and a cat. Anyway, the Smurfs will kill your brain cells. Stay away from it. Don't expose your children to this. It is not a good thing.
Some people watch the Smurfs and go to movies to enjoy them.
That's right. Not to make snide comments. That's probably true. And you know, but you know what?
What?
I don't care. Well, I had to sit through this goddamn thing. I'm going to make snide comments.
Well, you shouldn't. You should enjoy everything.
The Thursday Horror Picture Show is what this week? Oh, yes, it's a double feature, is it not?
Well, shouldn't we say where and when it is?
Well, you say where and when it is. Where and when is this?
It's on Thursday at Carolina Asheville.
I wonder if that's why it's called the Thursday Horror Picture Show, huh?
It probably is.
Yeah, it probably has some connection.
Smart-ass. It's at 8.
So anyway, with this, the movies this week are they're like a real 1960s shock theater package presentation double feature that you would get on a Friday night, circa 1965, which is one close to a real horror film called The Strange Case of Dr. RX. I mean, you know, it basically is a mystery. It has certain elements that lump it into horror film. Lionel Atwill is in it. With impossibly high billing for being very little in the film. His character's name is Dr. Fish, and that should give you a clue as to the kind of character he is in a mystery.
Is he a fish?
No.
Oh, it's a red herring.
Bingo, thank you.
I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah. You know, you want people not to realize that you couldn't catch what I was talking about. It also, you know, the bad guy, the killer, the actual Dr. RX, does have kind of a low-budget mad scientist lab. He does wear a surgical smock with a white hood. It looks kind of like a Klan meeting. And he does have a pet gorilla. Now, these are not the trappings of your normal mystery movie.
It's not Murder, She Wrote, is what you're saying?
No, it's not Murder, She Wrote. Plus, normal mystery movies, or at least Murder, She Wrote, doesn't normally have the comedy stylings of the great Mantan Moreland, much less Mantan Moreland teamed, mind you, with Shemp Howard. It doesn't get much more strange than this pairing. It's a little bit unnerving, too, because there's a tendency, as there is not with the other characters, for the Shemp Howard character to be... He seems like he's more condescending to the Mantan Moreland character than anybody else in the cast is. And he also slaps him around at one point. It's just like, you know, this isn't a Three Stooges. You're slapping this black butler around, and it doesn't look good.
So is this before he was part of the Three Stooges? Because I know that he and his brothers were...
He had been a Stooge before they made movies.
Right.
Okay, this is before he had rejoined them. Because he doesn't rejoin them until Curly has his stroke, which is about 1945, 46. This is 42, so...
And you're not a fan of Three Stooges?
No, I don't like Three Stooges at all.
But do you like Shemp Howard in this role?
He's okay in this movie, yeah. I mean, the movie is really a lot of fun. It has Patrick Knowles and Anne Gwynn, who apparently made up a lot of their dialogue as they went along. I can guarantee you that almost all of Mantan Moreland's stuff was made up because he created almost all of his own material in these movies. It's really kind of shocking. He has no credits in the opening credits. His name does not appear until the end credits. And yet, he probably has the biggest role next to Patrick Knowles. Well, he's great, and people know that he's great. You know, I mean, he's effortlessly funny. And you ever hear one of his actual stand-up routines, he's also effortlessly filthy. But you don't get to hear that in old movies, of course. But it's a lot of fun, and Patrick Knowles, when I was a kid, and I look at it even today and look at this and I go, this man has like the coolest apartment in New York City of anybody on earth, and I would still kill to live in that apartment. It's still pretty damn spiffy. Even if you had the appliances that we see in the kitchen, I'd still go for that apartment.
Who would you kill?
You.
It's rude.
You're near. No, I probably wouldn't kill you. I'm
no, you said you were going to kill me for an apartment. That's, I appreciate that, Ken.
This is an apartment in New York City.
So?
With a big glass.
It's probably got a staircase, too.
It's like an elevator, too. It's real upscale.
Is there an elevator in the movie? Do we get to see it?
No, but we're going to probably get to see one tonight. We're going to get, I think it's a crane shot, but somebody's probably going to bring it up because the camera does go up three floors.
Anyway. Ken has offered to murder me for an apartment. Sounds all these years I've known Ken.
This is a sweet apartment, yeah. When you see it on Thursday, you'll see why it would be worth considering.
I turned up murdered and Ken's moving to
yeah,
New York.
Then you'll know what happened, but I don't believe this apartment ever existed anywhere outside of Universal Studios.
Well, you could live in Universal Studios.
It would require being in California, and I have more sense than that.
All right, and let's talk about the Asheville Film Society screening next week.
Ah, the Asheville Film Society screening next week. Really? Need I say anything more than Marlena Dietrich as Catherine the Great?
No. Yeah. Let's move on.
That'll do it. Yeah, you know. Now, this is primo stuff here. This is over the top. This is beyond over the top. This is probably the most outrageous film that anyone got a major studio to finance in that era. This is Joseph von Sternberg made it. He called it a relentless excursion into style. Yes, that pretty much describes it. Nothing about this film is normal. It's spectacle, grotesquerie, sex, sadism, and some more sex. You know, all the things that make movies worthwhile, really, is what it comes down to. How this got past the production code, I have no idea. It obviously had been made already. But it did get an approval rating. In fact, it's got one of the really low numbers. It's got number 16. But it is outrageous. I mean, there's nudity in this film. Violence beyond words. There's sexuality that is really abundantly obvious. There's a scene where Dietrich reviews the troops and everyone that she pays any attention to. You can watch her eyes go down as she checks out the guy's basket. I mean, it's not even like you have to guess at this. It's obvious. It's on the top. And then there is Sam Jaffe as the quite mad man she has to marry. He's a raving lunatic. He goes around boring holes through the wall to spy on people with a big bracing bit. He has a deformed black dwarf that goes around him. He trains soldiers in the hallway. He shoots peasants just for the fun of it. He gibbers. He jabbers. He's absolutely one of the craziest things on earth you've ever seen. And then you have Louise Dresser as the czar, as a czarina of the age when Dietrich's Catherine gets there. And she plays her, and this is deliberate, like a rough American. Sternberg was convinced that there was a great similarity between Americans and Russians. And so his Russians tended to act and sound like Midwesterners. It's very strange. But then his palaces, which he wanted to be a cross between a palace and a barn, kind of look like gigantic log cabins filled with grotesque statues, candles, and doorways it takes three people to push open. There is nothing like this movie. You must see it.
What's coming this week?
Well, what's coming this week is, besides Project Nim and The Trip, is The Change-Up, which is a body-switching comedy with Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds, whom, according to the trailer and the plot synopsis, were our best friends because they grew up together, which should come quite a shock to one of them, because they're not really that close to the same age that they grew up together. It's not even possible. It doesn't.
Well, maybe
look...
Jason Bateman was really lame. his character. Well, maybe, he's hanging out with little kids.
Yeah, maybe that's true. He's
a Catholic priest.
You know. Perhaps. This is a movie that the Green Band trailer put me off seeing it, and the Red Band trailer didn't help. I mean, I'm not saying I won't see it. I very likely will see it, but you know, the Green Band trailer has a baby projectile shitting in Jason Bateman's face. This is, you know, and then there's a diarrhea joke involving Mrs. Judd Apatow. What's her name? Leslie Bibb, is that it?
I forget.
Something like that. Anyway. Leslie Mann, Leslie, the great Leslie.
Leslie Apatow.
Could be. Yes, that'll do it. Yes, anyway. The Red Band trailer just replaces all the scatological humor with...
more?
No, it has people saying fuck a lot, and it has a lengthy joke that you can see the punchline coming a mile away about a personal vibrator in the bathtub.
Did they get electrocuted?
Unfortunately,
that would be
no.
The joke I would go with.
Now, you can see where this is going, though. If you watch the trailer, you'll see what I'm talking about. And then we have Rise of the Planet of the Moose, Apes. I'm not excited.
I got really turned off on this movie. Well, I mean, after I saw it was another Planet of the Apes, and it looks really dumb. But after I read someone's article on the internet trying to claim from one clip in the movie that they think Andy Serkis will get an Oscar for this, his role as an ape.
I may...
As a CGI ape, and I thought it was the dumbest thing I've ever read.
I may vomit.
And then I saw the clip, and it was even dumber than I imagined.
Yes.
It was pretty funny. It was just this ape running around pushing people, and like... beating up suburbanites, which I mean has an appeal.
No, I didn't like the original films. I'm one of the few people who preferred the Tim Burton film to any of the originals, and I didn't much like the Tim Burton film. I'm not jazzed. I hated the 1968 film. I despised it. I thought it was jokey and stupid, and I thought the apes looked really dumb and rubbery, plasticky. Yeah,
it's my plan
exactly. It's kind of like a It's kind of like a bad animatronic doll from the 60s or 70s. I don't really blame the film for the fact that my friend and I came home and in front of his mother, Wrench mentioned the fact that you saw Charlton Heston's butt, which got a ban put on any M-rated movie for him and his brother until such time as, you know, it was beyond, they were beyond the age of being controlled by what their mother said they'd go see. So, you know, his brother never got to see the movie. Ha ha ha. That kind of amused me, actually. But I have nothing further to say about this thing. Do you have anything
dumb.
Further to say other than the fact
dumb.
That Andy Serkis is going to win an Oscar for his portrayal of a chimpanzee? Yes, well.
Is the guy in all the Del Toro films?
In the, what?
All the Ron Perlman?
No. He's talking about Doug Jones.
Yeah. He's way better.
Yeah, but he's not playing a chimpanzee.
I know, but he's better.
So, you know, well, I wouldn't argue the point. So, but anyway, there you have it.
You should actually see the clip that they're talking about, because it starts with Andy Serkis introducing it super seriously. Like, this is a serious portrayal of an ape attacking people.
What geek site is this? I have to know.
I'll find it for you.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, it's pretty, like... him like straight face, like I take my role
as a chimp
really seriously.
Did J. Fred
actor.
Muggs, for Christ's sake, and look at him, got him nowhere.
Not a gorilla suit to be seen the entire movie, I guarantee.
That's
you.
Really sad. I'd like it better if there were. Anyway, I think that covers us for this week.
Well, we also have did we mention Project Nim?
Yes, I mentioned those at the beginning.
I fell asleep for a bit.
I understand.
I'm awake now.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. Just in time for us to end this thing and identify the fact that...
vengeance.
Yes. End this thing with a vengeance, yes. All right, who are you?
I'm Justin Souther.
Who do you work for?
The Mount Express.
Uh-huh. I'm Ken
Hanke. I represent them right now. I'm not really working
for
them.
That's true. I'm Ken Hanke. I also represent the Mountain Express.
On the internet.
On the internet, yes. And they're the fine folks who make this possible. Without them, you wouldn't have this program. So send all your hate mail directly to the Mountain Express, not to us. And
or
to
put it in the comment section under a pseudonym.
Yes. Yes. And then they also provide us with the inimitable and illimitable talents of Miami. I'm getting tired of Miami. Paducah Steve Shanafelt, our brilliant, brilliant coherer, producer. What else does he do? Oh, okay. We're going to figure that out and tell you next week. I've had it. With a vengeance.